Okay, today is Daf Chaf Hey. We have some ground to catch up, and we have short time period to catch up for Slichos, but time to learn and time to daven also. Okay, so the Mishnah had said that you have to keep the Goren Kavua from the ear of Chamishim Amma. And then it also said at the end that you shouldn't make a Goren unless you keep it away from the Tios of your Chavero and not the Natamazik. So the Reisha says it's 50 amos, you have to distance. The Seifa just says as long as you don't do damage. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Why in the Reisha is it specifically 50 amos and the Seifa? That's a Gemara ask. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Why in the Reisha does it give a 50 amos shear? And the Seifa, the shear of the Harchaka, is only B'chadei Shelo Yazik. So Amar Abayi, Seifa, Aslan, the Goren, She'ena Kavua. The difference is because the Seifa is talking about a case where it's not a permanent granary. It's not permanent. So what does that mean? So Hei Kedami Goren, She'ena Kavua. What does it mean, the Goren, She'ena Kavua? So Amar Rav Yosef Bechanina, Kol She'enu Zor Barachas. The Goren She'enu Kavua is that the bundle, the stack of wheat or of grain is not so big that you don't need like the pitchfork to throw it up in the air and to winnow it. You can do it by hand. That's considered the Goren She'enu Kavua. So I don't know why they say Goren She'enu Kavua means you don't do that there all the time. Ravashi says no, a different reason. My Tamka Amar. The Seifa and the Reisha, if they be read in conjunction with each other, that the Seifa is given the reason for the Reisha of the 50 Amos. My time in Marchik and Goren Kavua min ha'ir Chamishim Amos. What's the reason why they keep the Goren Kavua from the ear of 50 Amos? Kadesh lo Yazik. In order that the reason that the Reisha says 50 Amos is in order that you're not Mazik the other person or the other field or the city that's less than 50 Amos away. That's the reason. It doesn't you have to read it differently. Lo yasa adam goren kavu b'tok shloshim b'tok shalo, ele im kein yesh lo chamishim amo l'chol ruach, u'marchik mitos l'chavero, u'miniro. Why? Kedei shlo yazik. I guess that's how you read it. So Meisve, they ask a question on Rav Ashi from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, marchikin goren kavu amini ir chamishim amo. You have to keep the permanent goren away from the city 50 amos. And just like you have to keep it away from the city 50 amos, so too, karch marchikin midluav umikshuav. So too, you have to keep it away from the gourds and the certain types of vegetation has to be kept away 50 amos. Umin tiosav, and from the place where he plants his trees. Umin niro, and from his makom where he's choresh, right? That's the smooth area, right? Shel chaveru chamishim ama kadesh lo yazik. So here it says kadesh lo yazik. So Bishlam al Rav Ashi Nicha. This is fine according to Rav Ashi, because it says here 50 amos. All of them have the same shear of 50 amos. Why? Kadesh lo yazik. That's what the Raisa says. So Bishlam al Rav Ashi Nicha. That makes perfect sense according to Rav Ashi, who said both the Raisa and the Sefer were talking about one shear of 50 amos, and the Sefer gave the reason of Kadesh lo yazik. And that's what it says here from the Raisa. Marchikin, this from the Chamishi amos, just like the Goren Kavu has to be 50 amos away. Just like if you keep the Goren 50 amos away from the city, so you have to keep it away from the Dlua, from the Keshua, from the Tiosa, 50 amos, in order that it doesn't do damage. That's exactly like Rav Ashi. El Abayi, according to Abayi, says that the Seifa is giving a different shear for a Goren She'ena Kavua, so then Kasha. I don't know why, it's a Kasha. Maybe this is only talking about the Goren Kavua. Kasha, it's a question on Abayi. It's on Abayi. So Tosas asked my question. Tosas says the Bryce is talking about a Goren Kavua. And that by Goren Kavua, we're talking about, I don't understand what the Kasha is on Abayi. I just don't understand what they're having. What does Tosas say? It's a Tema. The Tosas on Abayi. It's a Chavdal on Abayi. It's a Tema. My Kasha, ha Bryce ha Ayri, Goren Kavua. Or my Sikhs, Goren Chayna Kavua. What's the difference? Right, so what is Tosas' answer? V'yei Shalom Abayi, Gup, Ehabi, Mishani, Demai, Time, Ka'amar. There's an answer. I still don't see what the Habimim is. What is Tosos's answer? Tosos says that Abayi is cholik on Rav Ashi. No, Abayi just gave a dichuk answer because he's trying to separate it. But really, you see from the Braisa, because the Braisa is so clear that it's Matam Ka'amar, so that means the Mishnah also must be talking about Matam Ka'amar. I think the question is stronger. Abayi said the difference between Goren Kavua, Goren She'ena Kavua. It's only Goren Kavua. Okay. So, Gemara goes back. Bishlamam Yikishua Sal Midlov, the Azul Apkavi Ati Believe. I understand why you have to keep it away from the Kishuav, from the gourds, because the Azul Apkavi Ati Believe, because the motes, the dust, the disgusting parts of what you separate, right, is going to fly, right? umatzilein. It's going to make the vegetables disgusting. Ela miniro amai. Why do you have to keep it away from the niro? Again, the niro is that smoothed out area that after you chorish it and you plow it smooth. So what's the problem? What's going to damage there? So Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda b'tim Rav Abba Bar Zuchim b'pneisha osa golol. Because it puts a lot. It's like golol. It's like zevel. It's like manure that's being left on the field, and that's hard for the bad for the field. So Tosos asks. That's what Tosos says. What are you talking about? We always say that golol is good. We always want that on the field. It's mashpiach the field. He says afagav the golol mashpiach lekarka kishe kula golol mazik. If it's completely covered by golol, then it's mazik. Only if it comes in a controlled way. Okay. Next Mishnah. Sorry, going fast. We just don't have the time. Marachikin es nevelos v'sakvaros v'saborsakim in ir chamishim amma. We have to keep the nevelos, right? The nevelos have to be, and the kvaros and the cemetery v'saborsakim. That's the tanning place. You know, for the not tanning salon, it's for the guy who works on the leather, the tanning of the hides. Min ir chamishim amma. It has to be kept away from the city 50 amas. Rashi explains why. Because a reich ra, it smells bad. And if not 50 amas away from the city, the smell is going to bother the city, right? Ein osim borsakim elab mizrach ir. You can only make the borsaki, the place to tan the leather, that only can be on the eastern side of the city. Again, it has to be 50 amas away, but it only can be from on the eastern side. Rabbi Kiva omer lechol ruach uose. You can do it on any side, chutz mi marava, except for the west, to marchik chamishim amma. But it has to be kept 50 amas away. The Gemara is going to ask, what does the marchik chamishim amma come to explain? Is it saying that Chol Ruach, you can do it right up to the city, but in the Marava you need to pull it away 50 amos? Or every side except for the Marava you can have to do it 50 amos, but in Marava you can't do it at all? That's the Gemara's question. Next, the Mishnah talks about a case that we were familiar from Daf Yuches. Umarchikin is a Mishnah in a Yarak. You have to take the pool where you soak the Pishtan away from the vegetables. That's a Krishim in a Betzalim, right? You have to keep the Krish has to be kept away from the onions. And the chardom and the dvorim and the mustard has to be kept away from the bees, because the bees go to the mustard, they eat the mustard, they get thirsty, and they come back, and then they eat all their honey. That's a chardom and the dvorim. Rabbi Yossi mati b'chardom. Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to eat the chardom. Now, all of you showing him ask, this is the only Mishnah, this is the only place in the Mishnah where it says you have to do a harchaka, and it doesn't give the distance. Right? Every time we say 50 amos, 3 tvachim. Here we say Mishnah and the Yerik, Mishnah and the Psalim, chardom and the dvorim. There's no, doesn't list the distance. The Ramban asks, why isn't this the distance? So he says that he didn't find the Tosefta. He looked around. He doesn't find. He says maybe the shear for the chardom for the dvorim is 50 amos. He doesn't know. Doesn't know why he doesn't list it. There's some say that maybe because we pass like Rav Yossi. Since we pass like Rav Yossi, there was no point in putting down the shearim because that's like the chachamim. I don't know. Again, I think the question is better than the why aren't they listed? Why don't they list the distances here? Okay, so that's a big shaila. According to a lot of Rishonim, he agreed to all these. It's a machlokas Rishonim as to whether all the Mishnayos, except for the ones that are specifically clear about Rabbi Yossi, that they all go according to Rabbi Yossi anyway. He would be moded because of Giri delay. So maybe according to those, that you can answer the question that those he agrees to, and therefore we have the shear. But here, these, since he disagrees, we don't need the shear because he says he can put it up to the border anyway. So they ask about Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva, what did he actually say? L'chol ruach u'osav esomech. He could put it right up to the border, divorce it right up to the border on any side of the city, chutz mimarava, except on the west side, the marchik nun amma. On the west side, he has to distance it 50 amos. Odim l'chol ruach u'osav marchik hamishyam amma. Really, he has to distance it 50 amos from any side. Chutz mimarava, the inos o'klal. Except on the west side, which he can't do it at all. He can't put it there at all, so tashma. We arrive from the Brisa that goes the second way. Tanya Rabbi Kiva Omer, L'chol ruach hu osu marcha chamishim amma. He can do it on any side as long as he distances 50 amos. Chosim ha'arav, except on the west side, the ain't also kalikar. He can't do it at all on the west side, mipnei tadira, because the ruach on the west side is tadira. What does tadira mean? To be tadira, I think, the Gemara is right now, it's constant. It's a constant wind. And therefore, if you do it on the west side, the wind that comes from the west is constant, and it's going to blow the smell right over into the city. So you don't want it to go from that side. So I'm going to Rabbi Nachman, my tadira. What does the word mean when it says tadira? Ilema tadira ruchos. If you say it is the most prevalent wind of all the winds, north, south, east, west wind, it's the most prevalent wind. Baha, it can't be. Baha, Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba, Amar Rav, dalet ruchos minashos b'kol yom. There are four winds that blow every day, right? The ruach tzfonis amkulon, and the northern wind is the most powerful, the most often wind. The northern wind. She'umala kain, without the northern wind, again, like I said before, we started, I'm not sure I understand pretty much at all what the Gemara is talking about now. The Gemara has some astronomy and talk about winds, and I mean, the Maralek says that you can't take this literally. There's some metaphysical ideas being explained by the Gemara, but we'll just read the Gemara to what's the best of our knowledge. The ruach tzfonis amkulon she'umala kain eino olam mitzkayim apilu she'achas. Without the northern wind, if it didn't blow all the time, even for 1 hour, the world would be destroyed. The ruach drom is kasha mikulon, and the southern wind is the most difficult wind for the world. The imali beinet shema'amida, and if not for the malach called the netz that spreads its wings to protect the world from the southern wind, machreves as ha'olam, it would destroy the world. So how do we know about this netz? So this is in Eov. When Eov says, we saw it also a few weeks ago, Eov says to Hashem, maybe you got confused between Eov and Oyev. So Hashem comes back and says, what are you talking about? I'm going to get confused with that. I who created this is going to get confused between Eov and Oyev. So I, Hami bin Noscha Yaber Nates, Yipros Knuffa of Lateman. The guy who Hashem says to Eov, I made the Nates, who's going to open his wings towards the south to protect the southern wind. I'm going to get confused between Eov and Oyev. How do you, of course I do not. So that's why it's, so you see from here that the Nates opens its wings to protect the world from the southern wind. Okay? So Elamai Tadira. What does Tadira mean? What does it mean when it says it's constant? Tadira b'shrina. We see it on the western side, that's where the Shrina is. Shrina is on the west. Now Tosis points out that, because now we talk about different ways that you daven, Tosis points out that all these shitas here are going to argue on the Gemara and Brachos that says that we daven towards Yerushalayim. Now here we're talking about davening towards the Shrina. We say that the Shrina is Mechol Makom, but therefore, and there's a pasuk that we daven towards Yerushalayim. So if you're on the west of Yerushalayim, you daven east. On the east of Yerushalayim, you daven west. You know, that's how we pasuk. But Mr. Brewer says, if you start davening one way, except if you're Shliach Tzibur, if you start davening one way, and you remember you're the wrong way, as long as you have kabbana to be the right place, but you don't change. So that's the Tosos in the Chol Rucho. So we'll get to that in a second. So Elamai Tadir Tadir B'Shchina. The Amr of Yehoshua ben Levi, Bo ben Achzik Tov Levosina. Let's show gratitude to our forefathers, which is the Anshei Knesset Gedola, Shehodiu Makom Tefilo, who they told us this pasuk, they made it known to us, they made it known to us the direction of davening. The pasuk says, Usva Shemayim L'chamash Tachavim, the heavenly bodies bow to you, meaning the sun and the moon and the stars, they rise in the east, right? They rise to the east, and then they bow towards the west, as I said. So that means they're bowing towards the west. That means we should daven towards the, since they're bowing towards the west, we see that the Shechin, that's where the Shechin is, and we should daven that way, daven towards the west. So Masikli, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, he challenged this, who says that they're bowing towards Hashem? Maybe what happened is that they're like a servant who got a present from their master, and they're backing away respectfully. So they got the present from the Shechin in the east, and now they're backing away respectfully towards the west, meaning the Shechin is in the east, not in the west. Right? So Kasha, this is difficult. You're right. There's no proof from here whether or not the Shechin is in the east or the west. Rav Osher says that the Shechinah is everywhere. I mean, it's in all directions. It's the same. I guess that means there's no preferred way where you can daven. You can daven any way you want. Right? The Amar Rav Osher. Rav Osher said, the pasuk says, Atahu Hashem levadecha, Atah sisa shemayim. You are Hashem. You're alone. You made the shemayim. You made the sky. You made the heavens. Rav Osher explains, Shluchecha lokish shluchei basar v'dam. Your messengers, meaning the shlichim that Hashem says, are not like the messengers of a basar v'dam. Shluchei basar v'dam, the messengers of a person, mimakom shemishtalchim l'sham machzim l'shulchasan. Wait, I send them from Island Avenue. They have to come back to return to me. Let me know what they did. They have to come back to the same place I sent them. Right? They have to come back to Island Avenue. Aval shluchecha, but the messengers of Hashem, lemakom shemishtalchim sham machzim l'shulchasan. They give the report from where they did the shlichos. I send them to do a shlichos in point B, from point A. At point B, they can tell me, when they get to that place, that then they can report. Meaning, Hashem is at point A giving them the shlichos. He's at point B where they finished the shlichos. So there, Hashem is anywhere, and the shlichos is everywhere. Shenem Mars, the pasuk says, Hishtalach barakim b'yelchu b'yom l'cho hinein. You can send lightning, right? They'll go, and then they'll say, here we are. Yavohu b'yom l'omar. It doesn't say that they're going to come back and say, rather, yelchu ela yelchu b'yomru. Rather, they'll go and say, which means they say that they completed their shlichus at the destination point, right? Milamit sheshchinah b'chol makom. That teaches us that the shchinah is everywhere. I guess maybe you need an in-person report, If you need an in-person report for the person, you have to do it, go back to where the Mishalayach was. For a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't, because he's in person, quote, that area as well. The Af Rabbi Shmuel Sabar Shechina B'chamakom. Rabbi Shmuel also holds that the Shechina is everywhere. The son, Hashem is here, Hashem is there. Maybe that's where they get the song from. I don't know. The Tana, that scares me. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, because the Brisa from Rabbi Shmuel, Minayin Shechina B'chamakom. How do you know the Shechina is everywhere? Shneimar, the pasuk says, this is by Zechariah, right? Right, Zechariah, the two angels came to Zechariah in Parak Beis, and they gave him two different conflicting nebuos, things to do. One said he has to put borders around Yerushalayim, and one said not to put borders around Yerushalayim. Right, that Yerushalayim is a city without boundaries. So, Hinei Malach Adover B'Yotzi, so let's read what it says here. Behold, the angel who spoke with me came forth from God's presence, Umalach Acher Yotzi L'Krasso, and another angel comes from Hashem towards him. It doesn't say Achar Olonamar, it doesn't say that the second angel came from behind the first angel, meaning they came from the same place. Rather, Elik Russo, the verse says, the pasuk says that the second angel came towards the first, meaning the first angel came this way, the second angel came that way. They're both shlichim of Hashem, they're both coming from different directions. So it can't be that Hashem is in one spot, right? Even they're both coming from Hashem, right? Shmilam is the shchina b'chol makom. The teacher, the shchina is all the places. I partially don't understand what the shaila. The shchina is in, what does that mean? The shchina is only in one place. So Hashem is I don't understand. Maybe there's some more philosophical issues behind that. We say to our kids, you know, Hashem is everywhere. I mean, the kids always ask, is Hashem in my mouth? Is Hashem, you know, they also ask these questions. So then they say, you know, Hashem is everywhere. You know, they think it's Hasidim saying Hashem is, you know, he's even in the disgusting things, there's Hashem. To get, I don't know, I think there's a machlokas in philosophy about that, whether Hashem is really everywhere, but that's just... All right, so the Kosos asks, we're going to get that in a second. We'll do the Tosos. Right, Tosos with Tzvar Shemayim L'chomish Nachman, we said, right? So, I don't know if we got there yet, but if you look down, like the fourth line, Rim Tomar, B'maylo Neida Makum Tfilah M'Beis HaMiddush. Let's learn the Makum Tfilah from the Beis HaMiddush. Ha'isa Shab Shechina B'Marav. The Shechina was in the west. Why? Because the Kotche Kotchim was in the west. V'yesh Lomar, D'Misham Ein Lilmod, the Alpha got the Shechina B'chol Makum, even though we say the Shechina is B'chol Makum, E'ef Shar L'Hasim Arva Kaparos Ela B'Tarecha. You have to put it somewhere. Right, so you say, so they put it in the western side. They put it doesn't. The Shechina is everywhere, but you have to put the Aron somewhere, right? The Ritzba Omer, the Misham Ein Lilmo, the Shechina B'Marav. You can't say the Shechina is in the west. Then the Hid the base Kotche Kotchim Hay B'Marav. Maybe you'd say the Kotche Kotchim is in the Marav. Mikol Makom Aron, Shechina Sham, the Aron, which where the Shechina was resting, because it says V'Nodat Sham Hay B'Mizach Kotche Kotchim. But the Aron itself was in the eastern part of the Kotche Kotchim. So you can't make the Leman from there. Okay. So the Gemara now quotes another opinion. But Rav Sheshes also holds that the Shechina is in everywhere. The Amalei Rav Sheshes was the Shami. Rav Sheshes was blind, so he said to his attendant, "L'cho ruchasa okman levar mizrach. When you stand me up to pray, you can point me in any direction except for the east. I don't want to daven facing east. What you do in over here, we dafka daven east. But lav mishum deles beshechina. It's not because I don't want to face east because there's no Shechina in the east. Elamishim demor be mine, but because the heretics tell someone that they have to daven on that side. I don't know what that means. The minim daven specifically to the east. In order to not do what the minim do, we shouldn't daven towards the east. And we here in New York daven dafka east. Okay. No, but he's saying specific. No matter what, I shouldn't daven towards the east because that's the way the heretics daven. What? Mecca. I don't know, but it depends. Which way is it from the... But are those the heretics? I don't even know if those are the meaning. Right, that's true too. Oh, is it? Yeah. That, who knows? But are those the meaning anyway? I don't know. Mecca's what? 600 Muhammad starts? They say the steam of Sakamara is a couple of years before that. The Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Abo says, Shechina Ma'arav. The Shechina is in the west. The Amar Rabbi Abo, the boss, he says, Ma Urya. What does the word Urya mean? Urya means east, right? I guess it's a Persian word for east. My Urya, Avir Ya. It comes from two words, Avir Ya, the air of Hashem. Since the Shechina is in the west, Avir Ya, the air of Hashem. The east is the open air before the Shechina. So that Avir Ya. So that's where it's the east, meaning it's opposite to where the Shechina is, which is on the west. Okay. So now we're going to talk about. Psukim, I guess this coming week's parsha, the parsha of Shavuot, which is we're going to read next week, Razino, right? Right? The pasuk says, the Torah compares it to four winds. My diksi, the pasuk says, Yarof kamatar lechi, let my teaching drip, Yarof, like the rain. Zoruch marovis, this is the western wind, Shabba me orpa leolam, because this is the, because at first the western wind, which comes from the back of the world. I mean, the winds, you talk about the winds, when you fly in a plane, let's say you fly to Eretz Yisrael from here, when you're going east to west, when you're going west to east, that's the jet stream. It flows west to east. And maybe that western wind is more tuddier, just thinking about that. Right? When you go to Israel, it's 10 hours. That way, you come back, it's like 12 hours. Because you're going against the jet stream. So it seems like all the weather patterns come from west to east, except for the nor'easters that come, southeast. But that's an anomaly. They all come west to east. So maybe the western wind is the one that's most prevalent. I don't know. Then it says, Tizal katalim rasi, that my words, be like the dew. Zo ruach tzfonis, this is the northern, the word tizal is the northern wind. Shemazelis es azahav, when the northern wind blows, it devalues the worth of gold, because it destroys the crops, right? And it brings famine, and people have to spend whatever they can on the food, and therefore it devalues, it causes inflation, and makes the money be worth less. Right, so it's tizal katalim rasi. It tizal means makes it worthless when the wind blows. V'cheinu omer, and so the pasuk says, hazalim zohav mikis. Pasuk in Yeshayo, right? Those who spend gold freely from the purse. What's that talking about? When the gold gets cheap, it's during a famine, which comes from the northern winds. Then the pasuk says, I don't know how these are all compared to the Torah. These are bad things, no? Kisirim halidesha, like winds which blow the vegetation. Zom ruach mizrachis, the siirim is the eastern wind. Shemisaeris has kola olam kisayir, which churns up, which means it's like tornadoes. It makes heavy winds like a demon. Ucharibim halidesev, and it showers upon the grasses. Zom ruach deromis, this refers to the south wind. Shehimaale revivim magdalas hisavim, which brings the showers and causes the grass to grow. That's a good wind. Okay? So now the Gemara quotes a brisa concerning the path of the sun. I don't know how this works. We know that the sun for us is differently. We think this is talking about the earth being the center of the world. We know, look at those notes. You can see all those pictures. We know nowadays, so scientifically, we know that the earth rotates around the sun. The sun's stationary. Here, the Gemara is talking about the sun traveling. However, the Gemara puts the what the earth looks like. It has the sun traveling around the earth. Maharal says that, again, this is all homiletical. There's a deeper meaning towards it. Let's just read the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar says, Olam la'achsadra hudomya. The world is like a pavilion, right? In that it's enclosed on three sides and open on the fourth, the art scroll says. Veruach tzfonis enim isubedes. And the northern side of this pavilion is open. V'kevan shehigiyah chama etzel kerim aravit tzfonis. So the sun comes around. And then when it gets to the northwest corner of the world, Nichpefes, it turns around, and goes up on top of the heaven, and from atop of the heaven where you can't see anymore, then it travels back to the east to rise again in the morning. I don't know what that means. Rabbi Shua says, Olam Lukuba Hudome. The world resembles like a tent, which is closed on all four sides, right? Right? Beruach Tzfonis Misubeves, and the northern side is also closed. Kevan Shechama Magas Lekerem Arabis Tzfonis, when the sun reaches the northwest corner of the world, Makefes V'Choseres Achorei Kippa, it continues to circle and passes behind the dome of the sky. It gets to the point, I guess there's some sort of entrance, it exits the world, and then it goes around outside the dome of the tent, it comes around. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk talking about the sun's path, Holech El Doron V'Sobet El Tzafon, the sun travels towards the south, and it circles towards the north. Holech al darom bayom, it travels towards the south during the day. V'sovev al tzafon balayla, it circles to the north during the night. So when the sun goes beyond the northern portion of the sky, it returns to the position. I don't understand that either, because we know it's east and west. We're talking about north and south. Sun travels. So I guess here he has a picture. I don't know. Rabbi Shua continues. Sovev holech haruach, it goes around, circling in the directions over the horizon. V'alsivrosa shavaruach, and it's circling, it retraces the directions that it went in. Elu pnei mizrach pnei marav. This is the pasuk talking about the eastern face and the western face of the horizon. Shepamim misavaton. Sometimes the sun circles them when it goes behind them at winter. Upamim mehalaton. And sometimes it goes past them in the summer. I'm sorry, I just don't know what this. I don't know what it means. Hu haya omer. Okay. Now the Gemara. And who's this? Who? Us and Rabbi Elazar. This talk brings us back to Rabbi Eliezer. Right. Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that the world is enclosed only on three sides, and it's open on the north side. Right? Huaya Omer, Min Hacheder Tavo Sufa. From the inner chamber comes the whirlwind. Right? He says, Zo ruach dromis, this refers to the south wind, which comes from the inner part of the world, mimzarim kara, and from the dispersed parts, next to the pasuk, is cold. Zo ruach tzvonis, that recurs to the northern wind brings the cold. Minishmas al yitin kerech, by the breath of Hashem, he brings forth ice. Zo ruach ma'aravis, that is the western wind. V'rochav mayim v'mutzak, and the water comes, you know, pouring down. Zom ruach mizrachis, that refers to the east winds. Now the Gemara is making a stira, right? The Ha'amar, didn't Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'amar said, which is Rabbi Yehuda, didn't he say, ruach dromis ma'ala rabim megadel sasavim? The southern wind brings showers that causes grass to grow, which is good showers. You know, April showers bring May flowers. That's what he's talking about. But here, Rabbi Lezer just said that the southern wind said what? Minacheder tavo sufa, a whirlwind, a tornado type. That's ruach dromis. That comes. The ruach dromis is the one that brings this terrible, you know, destructive wind. Because lokasha, it's not difficult. This, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, the asimitra ben Yehusa. When the rain comes gently, when the southern wind causes the rain to come gently, then it's good for the vegetation. But ha, the Brisa statement is b'shiv Yehusa. When the rain gets a torrential downpour, then when the southern wind brings torrential downpour, the southern wind. Yeah, it's supposed to be the southern wind. Okay, that's what when it comes down to that downpour. That's no good. The Gemara continues about winds. Amr of Chizda, Ma'idik Siv, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Mitzafon Zahav Ye'esa. From the north, gold will come. Again, this is the Pasuk in Eov. And the Pasuk Pshat is that from the gold is this gold, the sun sign is gold. But, right, Mitzafon Zahav Ye'esa. Zo Ruach Tzfonis, this is the northern wind. Like we said before, Shemazal Tzazav. This refers to the north wind, which devalues the gold. Because the north wind comes, it causes famine, and therefore the currency, there's inflation, the currency goes down. B'cheinu Omer, Hazalim Zahav Mikis. Those who spend gold freely from their pockets. Next statement about winds. Amar Rafram Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda. Sorry, Amar Rafram Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda. Miyom Shechar Beis HaMidrash. The day the Beis HaMidrash was destroyed, Lo Hukshom Ruach Deromis. The south wind has not been filled with rain. There's no rain coming from the south wind. We don't get the good wind. Shnei Amar, as the Pasuk says, Vayigzor Al Yamin V'ra'iv. Right, the Yochal al smo v'lo saveyu. Right, so what does the pasuk mean? He decrees on the right, and then there's hunger, and consumes on the left, and will not be satisfied. Uksiv, I uksiv, sapon v'yomim atabarasam. North and right, and so north, the opposite of north is right, which means right now means south. So the yamin and the other pasuk mean south also. Sapon v'yomim barasam, you created them. So we see from this pasuk that right, the word right, can refer to the south. It refers to the south, and we can interpret the pasuk as saying that Hashem decreed regarding the south that there'll be hunger. Because in the aftermath of the exile, there's no more southern wind. It's not going to bring the rains. Next, Amar Rafram Bar Papa Amar Rav Chizda Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash. From the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, I guess, and Bnei Yisrael are in Galus. Ein Hagisham Yordim Otsar Tov. The rains have not come from Hashem's, you know, good place, from His Otsar Hatov. Shnei Amar. The pasuk says Yiftach Hashem Lachas Otsro Hatov. God will open from you His good storehouse, and the pasuk continues, and they'll give you rain. So Rafam says, "Bismashi Yisrael Oshim Yisrael Shel Makom and Bnei Yisrael doing the Ratzon of Hashem, the Yisrael Shum Al Masam, and the Bnei Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael." It's two things: they have to be there and have to be doing Ratzon Hashem. It's not one or the other, right? The Yisrael Shum Al Masam, Kishamim Yodim Ozer Tov. Then the good rains come down. But Bismashi Ein Yisrael Shum Al Masam. But here it only says one thing: when Bnei Yisrael is not in their land, Ein Kishamim Yodim Ozer Tov. I don't understand why it doesn't talk about Osim, right? They have to do Osim Ratzon Shel Makom. Both things. Okay. Now the Gemara says what was back before. About the directions of davening. Rabbi Yitzhak, Harotzi, Sheyachim Yadvim. One who wants to become smart, to become knowledgeable, he should face south during his tefillas. V'sheyashir Yaspin. But if he wants to become wealthy, he should face north. V'simanech, and the mnemonic for this is Shulchan Metzafon. The Shulchan, which represents wealth, is in the north of the Kachar Kachim, Menorah Bedarim, and the menorah is in the south. The menorah, which represents Torah, that's in the south. Right? Or the other way around. Yeah, that's right. Chacham is in the south. Rav Shulman Levi, Amar Rav Shulman Levi says, "La'olam yadim." You should always daven facing south. Shemitosha mischakem is asher, because by becoming knowledgeable, you'll become wealthy. Shneamar oich yamin b'mino, a small ocean of chavod. Right? It says your right hand, your left hand is wealth and honor together. It comes together. V'har Rav Shulman Levi, Amar Shchina Marav. So why is Rav Shulman Levi saying that you should daven to the south? Doesn't he say the Shchina is in the west, and therefore you should daven facing the west? So he says the mitzadeh atzudeh. Rav Shulman's advice is that one should turn, you should twist, you know, face southwest. Okay. Amr Le Rabbi Chanina Ravashi. Chanina says to Ravashi, Kegon Otun, like us, the Yasvino, but spawn of the Eretz Yisrael. We're in Bava, which is the north. It's really east, but it's like northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Adjumi, Adjumi. We should face south and daven towards Yerushalayim. Daven towards, that's pretty much what we do. We're towards the east, so we daven towards the east. When we know on the Bava, it's spawn of the Eretz Yisrael Kaima. And where do you know the Bava is the north of Eretz Yisrael? What do you need a pasuk for? It's north. The Ksib, the pasuk says, Mitzafon tipasach ha-ra'a al-kol yoshvei ha-aretz. From the north, the evil will open up. And we say from the Nets talks about Babel, that's where Nebuchadnezzar came from, north. But Babel isn't really north. Eretz Yisrael is here. The north is Lebanon and Turkey. Babel's this way. But I remember it was taught a long time ago that you had to come from the north. You couldn't travel directly because that was the desert. It was a fertile crescent when it was this way, so you had to travel to the north to come down to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Next, back to earth. Marchikin es hamishim min hayerek. You have to distance the flax spool from the vegetables, right? And the leeks from the onions and the mustard from the plants from the bees. And Rabbi Yossi says it's okay. So why does Rabbi Yossi say it's okay? Tana, we learned this already in Yudches. Rabbi Yossi mati b'chardel. He permits planting the chardel close to the neighbor's property. Sheyocholomelo, because the owner of the mustard can say to the owner of the bees, Acheta omli harke chardel cho min devorai. Just as you say to me that I should distance my mustard from your bees because they're doing damage to my honey. Harke devorach min chardelai. I reply to you, you distance your bees from my mustard seeds because Shabbos ochus luli chardelai because they come eating the flowers of my mustard plants. I'm a mazik and a nizak. We said before, I can't be classified according to Rabbi Yossi. I can't be classified as a mazik if I'm a nizak because at the same time. Yeah, I don't understand. But he says, Rabbi Yossi says, you can osa b'tok shalo, zo osa b'tok shalo, zo osa b'tok shalo. And all nizak l'harach is latzmo. But I'm doing it in my own property, according to Rabbi Yossi. We talked about this on Yudches. Rabbi Yossi says, my property is my property. I can do what I want in my property, unless it's giri delay. I am doing what I want in my property and it's causing you damage, but you're causing me damage also. For doing what you want in your property, it's causing me damage as well. Marchikin as a... No, the Gemara in Yudches says he even agrees in the other cases. He said the Gemara in Yudches says he was talking to the Chachamim. He says, I say in all the three cases that you can put it where you want because you can do. But according to you, at least agree to me that the mustard can be there because just like the mustard damages the bees damage the mustard. And Chachamim say no, it's not damaged because if it's either one, it's not going to find the seeds, or if it eats the leaves, they're going to grow back. Right. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Yossi says, also you can do what you want in your property, unless it's giri delay. If it's giri delay, then he agrees. So you have to look into each case whether it's giri delay. That's a machlokas we showed him as to whether Rabbi Yossi argues or agrees in those cases. So let's do the mission. So you have to distance the tree 25 amos from your neighbor's pit. But if it's a carob tree or a sycamore tree, then it has to be 50 amos from the pit. Whether the boar is higher, it's elevated above the tree, or the tree is elevated above the boar. Of course, if they're aside, but even if they're different elevations. Now the Gemara says, if the boar was there first, and then someone planted a tree within the 25 amos, then he must have cut down the tree, and the neighbor has to compensate him for the cutting down the tree. The ima ilan kadam, but the tree came first, and then the pit was dug afterwards. Lo yikuts, you don't have to cut down the tree. Suf exek kadam. If it's a suffek, it's over here. Suf exek kadam. If it's a suffek, whether or not the tree or the pit came first, lo yikuts, you don't have to cut down the tree. But Rabbi Yossi says, ap al pisha bor kadam is ilan lo yikuts. Rabbi Yossi says here, he argues, even if the boar was before the tree, he doesn't have to cut down the tree. Because just as this one can dig a pit in his property, this one can also dig a tree in his property. Rabbi Yossi holds that with regards to damages, it's al nizak laharchus atzmo, and this guy can do what he wants. And it's a question whether it's giri delay or not. So roots, it's not giri delay because it takes time, I guess, for the roots to go all the way out and do damage. Do we even have a minion yet? No. Okay. So Tana, we learn in a brisa, bein shevo lamata the ilan amala. Right, it doesn't matter whether the pit's on higher ground or the pit's on lower ground. Tanakhama says you can't have the tree. Right, so now what's bishlam bolamata ilamalam? It's understandable that you have to distance the tree when the tree is higher than the pit. Ka'azan sharoshim asking the board. The roots are going to come down and going to damage the pit. Right, ela bolamalam ilamata amai. But if the pit's at a higher elevation, how is the roots going to go up and go into the pit? So Amar Rav Chaga b'shem Rav Yossi. Because What happens is the tree has to be distanced because the roots travel underneath the ground. And then they weaken the ground underneath, and then the pit will collapse. The roots may not go into the pit, but they'll weaken the ground underneath the pit, right? And therefore, it'll damage the floor of the pit. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow. Have a good day.